Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am super excited to be here today. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today I have Carolyn here with me. Carolyn, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, hello. I am Coach Carolyn J. Murphy. I am an author of the book, God, Why Did You Save Me? I am a mental health advocate, a Tennessee certified peer, a Christian life coach with the title of Mindset, a mind shift coach. And I am a survivor and thriver of childhood trauma.
I love that last bit, and thriver. Yes, yes, yes. And this is what this podcast is absolutely about, learning how to thrive beyond our trauma. So why don't you share your story to and through Survival Mode?
Thank you. Thank you. I deem this an honor to be able to tell my story, though revealing, but I have learned that this is above me. This is beyond me. My backstory is that I was born to teenage parents that were 16. My grandmother raised me. My childhood is blocked for the most part, but between the ages of 4 and 6, I experienced molestation from an adult man. And then when I was in high school, I was raped by a classmate. In between those years, there were a total of 6 of us, 4 siblings. 3 siblings passed. 1 sibling passed when I was 2. She was 1 from brain cancer. And then the other 2 passed from a house fire in 1981. Prior to 1981, my prayer was, God, just let me die in my sleep. That was the type of pain that I was dealing with. I was born during a time where children were seen and not heard. Even back then, you couldn't even express your most emotions as far as crying. So during that time, I was muzzled. But when the molestation happened, it silenced me. And I grew angry. I knew of God because of my grandmother raising me, listening to her read her word and seeing her pray. But it angered me that God would allow me to go through this. And the anger didn't stop until years later. I was first introduced to support groups when I got to college. I was always a good listening ear for everyone else, but I didn't have anybody to listen to me. And I was introduced further into mental health in late 2017 when I attended a class called Mental Health First Aid, which transitioned me into the 40-hour training to become a certified peer recovery specialist in the state of Tennessee. So that was the beginning of my journey for mental health. And then later on, my spiritual journey started because that's my strong why. And you're going to need a why when you're coming out of trauma.
Absolutely. They're coming out of trauma. You have to grasp onto something that creates a level of optimism and hope for you. Because dealing with your past and having to go back and unpack and revisit often puts you in a place of discontent, I think, is the best way to describe it, because everyone's emotions are different. But you feel very unsettled until you are able to process adequately and move forward. So having that why to really anchor into is definitely something that helps us to move forward. So you started addressing your trauma and such. What did the path look like beyond that?
The path was rocky, scary, because I dwelled in fear. From as far as back I can remember, fear was my friend. At least I thought it was. The times I describe it was my companion because it never did go anywhere. But it's a relationship. It was a toxic love-hate relationship. Fear is the shackles around our ankles and around our wrists. When you've been traumatized or hurt deeply, we tend to build walls. And later on, those walls become our comfort zone. We describe it as our comfort zone. But here lately, within this last year, the Lord said, though that's a cute little word, it's really your prison. It's the prison that you created.
And that was the exact word that came to mind when you said we build these walls as for our comfort zone. And I immediately said that becomes our prison. Like it's exactly that, right? We get so attached to our reality when we have not dealt with our trauma, right? It becomes part of our identity. And it's when it becomes part of our identity, especially for long periods of time, right? Like your trauma happened in childhood and you held it for years, right? And it became part of who you are. That's the stifling part. It's not an event anymore.
I do agree. And then, because, trauma can happen once or it can re be repeated. And I think they call that accumulation trauma. And like you said, it becomes, although it shapes you, it doesn't define you. And the big thing is a decision, is a decision that has to be made. You have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that could be years. And that's why the Lord has sent me as a Christian life coach to Christian women, or more specifically, Black Christian women, because we've endured all types of trauma just all throughout our lives. And I'm here as a testament that there is life outside of trauma, but you got to do the work.
You got to choose a different life to start with. And then you gotta pull up your sleeves, get that elbow grease out, and do the work. It's interesting that you focus on Black women, and sometimes people don't understand why we need that focus. The level of our trauma is so compounded, right? We are living are holding on to generational trauma. We are dealing with our own personal traumas, and then we are forced to deal with societal traumas. I think the Black woman in society is essentially perceived as the bottom of the totem pole. And as a result, we get treated as such, which then creates this need to protect ourselves, which then becomes our comfort zone, which then becomes just another angry black woman. And it's because we learned to, from very young, how to show up by our grannies, by our mothers. We are conditioned not to let our weak slip because we know that society isn't gentle with us, isn't compassionate with us, will use our vulnerability against us. And this is something that we have to fight with continuously. So then having someone who understands the compounded trauma outside of what we might have experienced personally in our childhood and as we grow up is essential to our healing. And I am not saying that a white man or woman cannot help us, but to have representation that understands the level of conditioning that we receive from birth, which contributes to the level of trauma that we experience throughout life, is really helpful.
I so agree, because during my first encounter with a male that was trying to molest me, after that I learned to wear a mask, and I wore that all my life. Basically, my mask was the smiling face, highly functional depression, overachiever, workaholic. And I tell people I am a recovering perfectionist because I was my own worst enemy. You may have told me all accolades, but I was like, oh no, I didn't do that well. It's just, you become the poison that is spewed upon you. And you could achieve huge things, but until you deal with that unresolved trauma, you'll never truly be able to move forward. And that's something that I learned as God has commissioned me to start my business. Yes, you grow up, but that little girl that's traumatized in there, she's making all the decisions.
Absolutely. And for those who are unaware, most of us are stunted in our growth and the way that we process the world at the time that we experience trauma. So oftentimes we have these women out here in the world doing amazing things. Right, I've had conversations with women who have double PhDs and still thinking I haven't done enough because of the trauma they experience in childhood, and they are stunted no matter how well and how much they have achieved.
I totally agree. When you said that, that reminded me, I think I was in my early 40s. And self-assessment, self-awareness is so crucial. I was in my early 40s, and I don't know what brought about that thought, but it was like, you're still seeking acceptance from your mother, because I hated her. Our relationship was not good at all. But in my early 40s was when the Lord told me, look at her. And it was a strong look at her. And when I looked at her, he allowed me to see into spirit. And he allowed me to recognize certain things she said, how she moved. And then the Holy Spirit said, don't she look familiar? And at that point, he showed me. And that was my aha moment of, oh my God, she has been experiencing trauma. And that is why alcoholism is how she did it. So that's why I tell people, when you have unresolved trauma, you're grappling at things and people to help you feel better in the moment. which only turns on you later on.
Absolutely. You said something very key there, and I probably say this almost every episode. So, listeners, look, just flow with it, right? I believe there are three phases to exit in survival mode. First phase, self-awareness. Second phase is reprogramming. And third phase is reinvention. And you spoke about that self-awareness, right? Like you, without that self-awareness, you probably had very little grace and compassion for your mother, right? Without that self-awareness, you couldn't see that you were probably a mirror image of her because you too have been traumatized. And while you might have dealt with it differently, the residual impacts essentially are the same, right? And that allowed you, based on what you said, to probably go more inwards and really dive deeper into how can I make a change here? Because without that awareness, that hatred probably would have still been permeating, but it also gave you the opportunity to probably have a bit more compassion for her. And I don't know if she was still around where you could have or would have been able to fix your relationship, but at least look at her differently.
Yes, that was the start. That actually happened in the last year of her being alive. The Lord actually showed me 5 years before she passed that she was going to pass. And that was the turning point of our relationship, because I got the nerve to ask her, "Mom, why did you hate me so much?" When I asked her that, tears began to stream down her face. And she said, "Carolyn, I never hated you. I just didn't want you to go down the same road that I went." That was it. That was it. And my relationship with the Lord even changed. So much so that I began to walk the walk instead of just talk the talk. That right there, once she saw my authenticity, that changed her heart towards the Lord, because she was mad at the Lord like I was. And that brought her in to the Lord right before she passed.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I want to go back to something you said earlier. One of the things that I've learned in my education and my certifications and such is that we tend to adapt these personas as a result of our trauma. And you spoke about a few of them, the overachiever, the perfectionist, and all that. Like I was the fixer, I was the people pleaser. I did whatever I could to make those around me happy so that I didn't have to re-experience abandonment and rejection. How else have you seen trauma show up in personas?
Like you said, the workaholic, the people pleaser. I think those are the key ones that I've seen, the masquerade party that we take part in. All the while you're looking at me and you think I got it going on, but when I get behind closed doors, it's like I just want to die. So those are the main ones that I have seen. And God has led me to develop a framework that I call DARE, DARE to break up with fear, because that is the root of it, all of it, that keeps us in survival mode, that keeps us behind our own prison. I remember the Lord telling me at least a year ago, "I need you to build a platform for childhood trauma." And I'm like, "How? What does that look like?" But and so I God has blessed me to do it, because childhood trauma in my eyes is not being talked about enough, because that's the beginning of everything.
You reiterated my point around the personas, but one that comes up like really heavy for me is that strong black woman trope. that we carry. And I had a podcast previously, and it was really about Black women going into full-time entrepreneurship after experiencing workplace trauma. And one of the things that kept coming up was this: I was so strong. I did all the things. And in essence, my perspective is that strong Black woman trope that we carry, that we've been conditioned to carry for generations, is actually weakening us. It's taking our power away. It's taking, and I don't mean this in a negative way, because I know some people like are very resistant. No, I'm strong, girl. I'm strong. Yes, but I think oftentimes in our communities, we don't know how to put that code of honor down, that we don't know how to put it down and admit that we need help, to admit that, you know what, today is not my strongest day. And I'm still strong, even though today I can't show up in that respect. I think the difference is we always stay strong. We don't give ourselves the opportunity to be perceived as weak in any way. But what that does is strip us of our human experience, right?
I do agree, and I go about saying it, wearing that S on our chest, and that and then wearing the cape on our back. I've told people I don't want the strong. I don't want the strong, and like you said, it causes us to think that it's that weakness is a is something wrong. It's not. And it's all about reframing your thoughts, reframing your perspective on everything. Just because you failed at something doesn't mean that you're a failure. And that was another problem that's in me and other women that I've seen. So wearing that cape on our back, and that's another reason why some of us can't keep our men. We don't know how to put that strong woman down, because some of us have good men that just want to pamper us, open the door for us, but we don't even know how to receive that.
We don't know how to be soft as a whole, right? I used to think it was crazy. And I'm a huge Disney fan. I used to think it was crazy how Disney, particularly old Disney, right? It was always a damsel in distress. And I'm like, I can't relate to that. I am not a damsel in distress. Like, I'm gonna figure it out. And that was me like retaliating or rebelling against softness, right? Listen, a man does not want another man. And we are conditioned to remain in our masculine energy. We don't know how to lean into our feminine. We don't know how to lean back and receive, right? No, I'm independent. I'm strong. We don't know how to do that. And I'm telling you, I seek softness at every turn now, because I recognize that it allows me to rest. It allows me to be at peace instead of always having to figure out how to make things happen, instead of always being the one that's in charge, that's leading the charge, that is pushing forward for everyone around me. I appreciate being able to lean back and just be soft. You want to take care of me? Sure.
I do agree with you. And matter of fact, I am a single Black woman who is learning to lean on the Lord. I deem myself a child of the King, not a woman of God, because to me, when you say woman of God, there's independence there. And for so long, I've rolled in independence to the point it just almost killed me. So I'm practicing with God. I'm practicing with Him. Just be in the moment. Just be. And it's like you said, I'm tired. And that's just a small word. I'm just exhausted from trying to figure everything out. So it's like, okay, God, you know better than me. You already got it figured out. Let me just roll with you. And so when the husband come, I won't be knocking him over the head with my independence.
Don't you know I don't need you? I want you. Oh my goodness. Yes, it's so much that we learn through this process that just helps us to evolve, right? And it's being ready and willing to change and to challenge what we know to be, what we've known to be true, challenging it, and then reinventing ourselves in a way that serves us, that allows us to receive, that allows us to experience things that we haven't experienced before, simply because we are changing and shifting the way that we're showing up and being. Ooh, Caroline, I love this conversation. I loved it. I loved it. So tell us more about what you do with your clients and how we can connect with you. Tell us about that container, that platform that you created for childhood trauma.
Oh God, the name of it is called SCARS, SCARS, and it is an awareness movement, which is Childhood Advocacy Platform. And the S stands for self-aware, C for compassion, A for acceptance, R for resilience, and S for support. And it's built upon Psalm 56 and 8, which God said He bottles up all of our tears. And that's my way of letting us know that we're not, even though God is not here in the physical, but He's there in the spiritual. He hears our cries. You know, He hears our prayers. He has our prayers in a golden vessel. And I'm here as a testament that if you give it to God one moment at a time, one breath at a time, it starts with your decision, then you'll be able to move through the trauma. My thing is that special for us is in our community, and even more specifically the Black church, I want us to embrace our mental health so that we can move towards mental wellness. Until then, we're just stuck. And so this platform, SCARS, is not asking questions, just saying, okay, if you're experiencing this, please seek out a therapist. Seek out the support you need, because healing is not in solitude or isolation, it's in community.
Absolutely. Community is so important throughout the process, right? And particularly in our communities, we don't always take our mental health seriously. We don't always have the discussions. You know, I've heard people say the very first time I went to a therapist, I thought, like, what am I doing here? Because Black people don't come to therapists, right? Like, that's because that's how we've been conditioned. And it's just really important when we are able to put our mental health or make our mental health a priority, it changes the way that we view the world and the way that we show up. So, how can we connect with you online?
I have a landing page, carolynjmurphy.com. I'm on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram. The name of my business is called Firm Foundations Community Outreach LLC, but you may find it at Firm Foundations, capital C, capital O, Carolyn Murphy or Carolyn J. Murphy, on each platform. And I am, or you could catch me in the DMs, because one of the main things that God has blessed me to do is create a service called the listening sessions. I mimic it after a therapy session. So for those of us who are just completely against going to therapy, I think just having somebody to listen to you, being in the moment with you, validating who you are, your emotions, your words. And in that listening sessions, my prayer is you get the aha moment of maybe I do need to see a therapist. And at that time, I'm like, here, call this person because I have intentionally connected with Black mental health therapists so that I can take the ball out of my hands and give it to you. You'll never be able to say, I didn't know or I didn't have the resource.
I love that. So listeners, make sure you connect with Caroline, getting those DMs, and have your moment in time. So before we wrap it all up, one last key takeaway for the listeners.
Besides deciding that you want to break up with fear, I want everybody to know your purpose is greater than the pain that you're enduring. We were all born with a purpose, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you decide to discover it or not. And the last thing you want to do is to live with regret and get on your dying bed and say, oh, I wish I could have, but because you didn't, because of fear.
Listen, you got to break up with your fear, listeners. Thank you so much, Caroline, for being here. Thank you so much, listeners, for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. So disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.